young lawyer, actually, who was invited to deliver an address of welcome to none other than the governor of Georgia. And it was scheduled on a Monday evening. He took great pains as this young attorney to prepare his speech, to do his very best to welcome the governor, an honor that most young lawyers don't get, by the way. Only to be informed on Monday that the visit was postponed to Wednesday evening. Immediately, Judge Black, actually, who was a judge, I'm sorry, I said an attorney who was a judge, they'll go together. At once he contacted the committee who was responsible for inviting him for such an honor to tell them that he had a previous engagement that would prevent him from being there. And only a few people knew that the previous engagement was his regular weekly prayer meeting at his church, which, by the way, he believed was a higher priority than any service to man or state, though it might be for his own promotion. Nothing could swerve him from his purpose and his priority. You hear that, I hear that, and I've read it, and I've thought about it, and some of us may immediately think, how foolish was he? He couldn't skip a prayer meeting to go do the honors of welcoming the governor of the state. But you might think it's possible he had read his Bible. It's possible that he read the book of Acts. And maybe in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Acts, where it said that these, the people gathered, the church gathered, were of one mind. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. In other words, prayer was a high priority in their lives. I don't believe it was just individually, but obviously it was definitely corporately. Because they gathered together with one mind, devoted continually to prayer. And then it's repeated somewhat again in Acts 2:42, which we have been majoring on for a few weeks, where they were continually, the church, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In other words, corporate prayer was a very high priority for the local church. And I will say this, since we are a local church, as I read my Bible, it should be a high priority for you and me, individually, but also corporately. Then I ask you this question, and I think you who are familiar with Northwood, first of all of you can decide in your own heart if your priority is prayer in your own life, but then I want to ask you corporately, is prayer our priority? By the way, we say it is. We're going to talk more about that later. Our purpose statement, our philosophy of ministry paper, we say it is a priority. But we have to ask ourselves, is it really? In my own life and in the life of the church known as Northwood, is it a priority? As we continue to look at what the early church was devoted to, we've said we're going to look at these things because I believe it's a good model for us to look at, to learn from, and possibly out of it become more effective in accomplishing our purpose of glorifying God by developing mature disciples through worship, study of the Word, prayer, fellowship, and outreach to others. And we've covered a lot of that, and we get today to being devoted to prayer. Once again, if you're devoted to something, it is the utmost of highest of priority in your life. You're devoted to your spouse is a high priority in your life. If you're devoted to your job, it's a high priority in your life. If you're devoted to your children, it's a high priority in your life. Not to mention the fact that we may be devoted to shopping, we may be devoted to money, we may be devoted to sports, just to mention a few of distractions, I might add. A few of those distractions that get in the way. We're going to look today in Acts 1. We're going to cover, not in detail, but we're going to cover some of what goes on in Acts 1:4 through 2:41. Chapter 1, verse 4 through chapter 2, verse 41, where we will discover how our devotion to prayer helps us to fulfill our purpose. Just a look at what was going on in the early church, we can learn, I think, more about how this devotion to prayer will help us to fulfill our purpose as it helped them to fulfill their purpose. In verse 4 of chapter 1 through verse 14, what we will learn here, I believe, is that it helps us to fulfill our purpose as we anticipate the promised fulfillment. The promised fulfillment. They were praying, and we are to pray believing. Not just that God can, but we're to pray in anticipation that God will. How foolish of us to pray. Like, you'll see it even later in the book of Acts where they were praying. And the answer, when they all were shocked. Wow. That should not happen with you and me, folks. We have a great God. We sing about how great He is. He is faithful. He answers prayer. He's able to do anything He wishes and anything according to His will, He will do. And that's how we're to pray. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But so when we pray, we should not be surprised when God answers. All too often, I believe that we are. Wow, we're shocked. God answered. That should be the norm. They and us, we all should pray believing not just that He can, but that He will. The Lord promised to pour out the Holy Spirit upon them. Verse 8. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It's not power, by the way, and we're going to talk more about this probably next week. Not just power to live, it's power to be specifically His witnesses in the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost, farthest ends of the earth. So He promised to pour out His Spirit upon them, and He told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the fulfillment of the promise. Verse 4. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And He reminded them in verse 8 of that promise that He will pour out His Spirit upon you, but you need to wait. You need to wait. Can I repeat that one more time? You need to learn to wait. And I'm saying that for my benefit more than your benefit. And I'll say it a little bit for my brother Bob Coaches, because he's formed around here what is called the Weight Watchers Club. WAIT. We both struggle with that, you know. We have a hard time waiting on God. We need to learn to be better waiters. And I'm not talking about waiting tables at the restaurant. We see in verse 14, they were waiting, but what was happening? They were continuing to pray as they waited. They were waiting. They hadn't disobeyed. They were still waiting on Him to fulfill His promise to pour out His Spirit upon them. They were continuing to pray as they waited. The promise of the Holy Spirit, by the way, was only realized after about 10 days or so of devoted, continual prayer. You say, we have a prayer meeting for 30 minutes and we're ready to go. They had one for a lot longer than that. You say, well, they probably slept during that time. I'm sure they probably did at some point. They might have even eaten a little bit. Remember, we talked about it. They like to get together and eat. But they were devoted to continually praying and waiting upon God. The condition of the answered prayer was to do what? To wait. That's right. You need to wait. and I'll answer the prayer. You need to wait. Now, there are other conditions we'll see in Scripture for answered prayer, but in this case, he said you need to wait. Did you know waiting is something that you can only learn by doing? That's the bad part. We got to learn to wait. We have to do it. We have to wait in order to learn how to wait. We have to learn how to be quiet or still before God. Psalm 46:10. Be still. Cease from your striving. Or chill out. You fill in. Well, I mean, honestly, that's vernacular that's accurate for that. Chill out. Just be still. Sit. Quit striving. Cease from your striving and wait upon God because He's faithful. He promised He will fulfill His promises. It's something we learn by being quiet or still before God and shutting out all the distractions as we wait on Him to impress upon our heart the next step for us to take. And I think that's the way God does it. He doesn't reveal the whole plan, at least in my life He hasn't. Maybe you're an exception to the rule. How fortunate. Or maybe it's unfortunate, because then you don't learn to live by faith. But He reveals it as we step one step at a time in obedience to Him as He reveals His will to us. And when He hasn't revealed it, we need to wait. When He hasn't fulfilled that promise, we need to wait on Him to do so. In this case, He had promised to pour out His Spirit upon them. I am confident that they prayed, believing with great anticipation and not anxiety. I don't see that they were a bunch of anxiety-riddled, filled people. They were waiting upon God to answer. As Jesus taught in Matthew 21:22, we are to pray believing with faith and not doubt, and you will have the answer. You ask, believing, and it will be given. Well, aren't there some other things? Yeah, we'll talk about some other things that must line up along here. But one thing we know as a condition to answer prayer is to pray believing. You say, isn't God sovereign? Yes, He's sovereign. But He's the one that laid down the conditions, not me. I'm just helping you understand what I have understood from Scripture, that we need to learn to wait. And as we wait, we need to believe God when we come to Him in prayer. And when we believe God, we're not as surprised when He answers. There was a Sunday school superintendent who came to the church with her arm in a cast one day because she had broken her arm. Well, the children's custom was, on special prayer requests, to put a marker in the Bible where God promised to hear and answer prayer. So they put one in the Bible that day, in response to believing God to heal her arm. Several weeks went by, and she mentioned to one of the teachers one day that the doctor that week was going to remove the cast, and she hoped the arm would not need to be reset. One little girl overheard the conversation and spoke up. Your arm will be all right. We prayed for you, and we marked God's promise. Out of the mouths of babes, right? We need more of that. We need to know that our God is a God who answers prayer. And we should be able to be devoted to this thing called prayer and to come to Him believing that He will hear and He will answer. James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 talks about the one who is sick. Let him call. Let him hear. Faith. Hear that? The prayer offered in faith. Be believing, and I will answer. You say anything? I'll tell you this. As long as it's according to His will, we're going to get to that in a moment. But we are so unbelieving at times, folks. We're so full of doubt. And we need to be a church. We need to be a people. We need to be a community of the saints who come together and believe our God to reveal and pour out His power upon us. Robert Coleman, who I had the privilege of sitting under in seminary a little bit, said this: prayer is simply believing God to provide what is needed to fulfill His will. As we pray believing, folks, we receive the promise. As we pray believing, we receive the promise. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. The Lord had promised the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, in order that they might, what? Be His witnesses to the world. They were all together, it says in verse 1, they were all together, that they, when they were together, as they gathered together, what were their custom to do? We've already seen it. Their habit was, their custom was to pray when we were together. They were a praying people. They were all filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit, it says. They each heard the speaking of the mighty deeds of God in their own language. It is the day of Pentecost, as we talk about in Scripture. The day of Pentecost, when God poured out His Spirit upon His people, His church. He baptizes the disciples into the body of Christ. And that is just like what you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that when one comes to Christ, he one. Okay? My conviction, and I'm confident I can stand upon it, it's a one-time experience. At conversion, that's what happens to anyone. Anyone who trusts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this case, the Spirit had not come, had not been poured out. Remember, Jesus promised the Comforter will come. He had not come and been poured out upon His people. But at that point, that's what's taking place. They were also filled, it says. They were also filled. What does filled mean? It means to be controlled by, to be empowered by. The same concept that's in Scripture when it talks about people being filled with wrath. Filled with wrath? That doesn't just mean you got a whole lot of wrath in you. That wrath is controlling you. In this case, they were controlled and empowered by and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit indwelt believers permanently in fulfillment of the promise I talked about. Jesus said, when I go, the Comforter, will come. And He will indwell you. He will baptize you. Yes. He will empower you. He will pour out His power upon you. Who? Everyone who trusts Him. Everyone who yields to Him. That power is available. Do you know that? The power that raised Jesus from the dead, He says, is available to any believer. Nothing magical. It's just simply what comes with the package. God indwells us by His Spirit. Is He going to put His power aside? Absolutely not. He is God still. He indwells us in the person of His Spirit, and He will empower us to live the way we need to live. And folks, we need some power. Because we're powerless without Him. What did Jesus say in John 15? Apart from me, apart from abiding in me, living in dependence upon me, and allowing my Spirit to control you, you can do a big fat zero. You can do nothing. But as we abide in Him, as we live in conscious dependence upon Him, to empower us by His Spirit daily, there's power to live the way He would have us to live. And in this case, there was tremendous power to preach the Word and reach the people with the gospel. Someone has said that prayer is asking God to do what we cannot. They ask, believing God would give power, and what happened? He did. Other than believing God, we find some other conditions for answered prayer. John 15, 7, I've already talked about it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, Jesus says, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. What's the condition? We abide in Christ, and His Word abides and lives in us. In John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know we have the request that we have asked of Him. What's the condition? Pray according to His will. We must abide and live in Christ and His Word to live in us. And as we do that, we will pray believing. And we will not only pray the will of God according to the will of God, we'll know the will of God because we're abiding in Him. We're living in dependence upon Him. He will reveal through His Word His will. Now, having said that, there are times you and I don't know what the will of God is. Don't worry. He'll take over. The Spirit intercedes for us. He will intercede for us with groanings. That's not a language, folks. That's the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, talking to the Godhead on my behalf and your behalf. Because we sometimes don't know. But many times we do know. And oftentimes, I think we pray knowing better. We pray for things that we want, knowing that we shouldn't have them. So we pray and wonder why we didn't get them. Because we were praying out of the will of God. But we need to abide and we need to pray according to the will of God. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. We know His will as we abide in Him and His Word abides in us. See how things go together? We're committed to the Word. We live in the Word. In dependence upon Him to guide and empower our lives, to reveal to us the precious promises that He gives us in His Word, then we can pray according to His will. A.J. Gordon says this, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Good way of saying, if you ain't praying, it ain't happening. You can do anything you want. You can read the Word of God all day long. But He says you need to be communing with your Father in prayer. Yes, in His Word as well. Not one or the other, both. As we pray believing, we receive the answer. And the beautiful part is what you see here and what we can experience is we experience the fruit. The fruit of answered prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Who has not been excited once or twice in your Christian life when God answered a prayer? I mean, sometimes you just want to dance, don't you? You want to just hop up and down. You might even say, praise the Lord, hallelujah! Especially if it's one of those you've been waiting for maybe even more than 10 days, right? Years you might have been waiting. That's the beautiful part. Someone has said that the fruit of answered prayer is the part of prayer that brings glory to God. Because people see God moving in power, and people here see God answering prayer. They see the fruit. And glory goes to the Father. Folks, there was a whole lot of praying going on. In chapter 2, verse 14, prior to the preaching of the word by Peter, prior to the preaching of the word, there was a whole lot of praying going on prior to his sermon. So don't think for a second he just hopped out there and started preaching and God did all these marvelous things. It was backed up with prayer, a praying church, a praying people who were devoted to it. And they believed God. And they were waiting on God to pour out His power. And they could see God pouring out His power upon the believers. And guess what happened? It went beyond. God poured out His power upon them to give Peter and others the power to live the way God would have them to live, just like He gives us the power today. And the result was the world around heard and they responded. In answer to prayer, God's word pierced their fertile hearts, And what does it say? About 3,000 were added to the church. Now, do you think we might have a tendency to believe that revival had broken out? Take a quick look. There's not 3,000 people here, folks. Now, you think the church is on McMullen Booth? I guarantee there's a couple down here not far from us that hold about that many in their sanctuary. And they have more than one service. But I'm not talking about the church gathered here or the church gathered there. I'm talking about the ingathering of souls. That's what happened. The church prayed. God, you said, well, that was when God poured out His Spirit. You expect that to happen. It's the same Holy Spirit. I don't think God turned into something different than He was. He has been. He always will be. And last time I checked, He does not change. That's one of the characters of God. One of His characteristics is He does not change. For some reason, because of our unbelief, we tend to push Him into a little box where He can't do those kind of things. That was in biblical times. Those people didn't have all the distractions we have. They probably didn't even have to go to a school class. They probably just stayed at home and they could get the... I know I'm going to laugh when you laugh. They get their homeschooling done in an hour and a half, and then the kids play, right? And I get to do what I want to do. I know it's not that way. We did a little homeschooling before. Not a lot, but we've been around. We know it's a commitment much deeper. We didn't have all these business meetings or all these social functions we had to go to. Or we didn't have dance. We didn't have Little League. We didn't have football. We didn't have soccer. We didn't have music lessons. Are any of those bad? You didn't hear me say it. My children did a lot of those things. Folks, we tend to think they didn't have distractions. I'm sure they had distractions. It doesn't matter what they had. They were devoted to it. If you're devoted to it and I'm devoted to it, the distractions do not get in the way. Hear me now. They don't get in the way of something we're devoted to. If I'm not devoted to it, yes, this is going to get in the way because it's a higher priority. I'm living that. I'm struggling. I'm learning. And I hope you're learning to keep our priorities in order. What happened? They repented. When the word was preached, they repented. They turned from their sin. They trusted in Christ and they followed in obedience to what? To be baptized. A fulfillment of His promise to pour out the power took place, and we see the resulting fruit. They prayed, they waited, God poured out His power, and the fruit was experienced. They reaped the harvest of souls. Because they were devoted to prayer. Richard Newton said it this way, "The principal cause of my leanness and my unfruitfulness is owing to an unaccountable backwardness to pray. I can write, I can read, I can converse, or I can hear with a ready heart. But prayer is more spiritual and more inward than any of these disciplines. And the more spiritual any duty is, the more," he says, "my carnal heart is apt to stray away from it." Remember, we have fleshly hearts. We are carnal. But we have the power of God in the person of His Holy Spirit living inside us. As we yield to the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, we will not walk according to the flesh. That's the answer. May we be devoted continually to believing prayer according to God's will. May our church be referred to as Jesus said it should be referred to. Luke 9:46. My house is a house of prayer. For anything less, folks, we're not what we should be. Don't think for a second I'm not preaching to myself as I preach. There needs to be a great awakening in my heart and your heart every day that we are dependent upon Him and not act as if we are not dependent upon Him. If we're dependent upon Him, we can do nothing apart from Him, then we need to be talking to Him, not just individually, but I believe there's power in that body coming together for corporate prayer. It has been said that a praying church acts as though God is alive and therefore considers it a priority to take time to talk to Him. And He is alive, folks. And it should be our priority to talk to Him. Remember, I said our philosophy of ministry? Let me read what we say in our philosophy of ministry. Therefore, we will seek to keep dependent prayer. Why? Because we're dependent upon Him. We will seek to keep dependent prayer individually and corporately as a high priority in every single aspect of our church. May we renew our commitment to prayer and be devoted to it in word and in deed, that we might more effectively accomplish our purpose. We're going to talk some more about how prayer reaps a harvest of souls. That's what we say we're committed to. Hang on for that.